Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's time to talk all things Dirty Birds. It's Falcons Flyover. John Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Halfway home with you on a Thursday evening on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the John Chuckery Show live with you here. 404-741-0929. That's the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Feel free to leave us a comment there. Download the radio.com app. Make sure that you have that downloaded and on your device, because that's how you listen to the radio station when you're not in your vehicle. Put that, whatever you got. You got a smartphone or a tablet or your smart speakers or your Commodore 64 or your Swatch watch or whatever you got, you know, Sega Genesis, Game Boy, you know, whatever you got, Atari 2600. Just download it on something. That way you can listen to us anywhere that you're on the go. Sports Radio Nights on the Game is helping you stay connected with our past shows, interviews, and all the content that you need. If you need more info, go to radio.com/stay connected. Social media at 99 The Game, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. As always, the best way to be a part of our show, do it through our personal Twitter handles. Reach myself. It's at JMCH316. At JMCH316. That is all your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. He is back in Midtown producing the show. Jarvis in the building at JarvisD90. It's our nightly look at all things Atlanta Falcons. So the Falcons did make a signing today. This was late today. The Falcons signed linebacker Deion Buchanan. He's a former first-round pick of the Arizona Cardinals back in 2014. First-round draft pick, number 27 overall out of Washington State. Was a safety that's converted into linebacker. Played with the Cardinals from 2014 to 2018. Then he played with the Giants in 9 games a couple of years ago, and then his past season played 5 games with the Buccaneers. Started as a strong safety, moved to right inside linebacker in 2015, and had a career-high 112 tackles. Played in 84 NFL games, 57 starts in his career. So certainly a guy who, if you need a starter, you need a guy who has had some experience and things like that. Now, I don't know if that's the guy you want to trot out there for 16 games as a starting linebacker. I wouldn't think so, but as we keep saying, I look at that linebacker grouping position, and whew, I don't know. It seems pretty weak to me. Outside of Deion, and I know they like Olakun, but, you know, he's going to have to show me. He's going to have to prove it to me that he ain't Devondre Campbell yet. Maybe he becomes Devondre Campbell, but right now he ain't even Devondre Campbell. So they do sign a guy, give him some more depth, and look, I know what Thomas said. We'll get back in the clips a little bit later on. I know what he said about the roster. Trust me. If they need to add guys, they'll add guys. They just added a guy today to give him the 90. And that was supposed to be held for a kicker. They need a spot, they'll find a spot. Trust me. You ain't got to worry about that. If that means an undrafted guy is not going to be part of the spot or whatever, then he won't be part of the spot. It's pretty simple. The whole thing about roster, our roster's full. Okay. With a bunch of ham and eggers who aren't going to be on the team. You can't have 90 guys on the roster anyway. So, All right, so Bill Barnwell went through and ranked all of the 2020 NFL off seasons from worst to first. Now, just as a quick sidebar, and a lot of people have it this way too, by the way, that he's got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at number one as far as having the best off season. So he went from worst to first. Tampa Bay ranked number one with the best off season. When asked about what went wrong, not much, but obviously what went right. I don't know. Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski, Tristan Wirfs is one of their draft picks. Keyshawn Vaughn, another draft pick. Keeping some of their defense back with Ndamukong Suh, Jason Pierre-Paul, Shaq Barrett. You know, they obviously did a lot of things. And they are in the mindset of Super Bowl or bust. Nothing else. There's anything less than the Super Bowl will be a disappointment, especially when you have, you know, the best quarterback in the history of the NFL. Where did the Falcons rank? Only 22nd. What went right? The Falcons finally acknowledged their need to rebuild on defense. Out went Vic Beasley, True Font, Devondre Campbell, and defensive tackle Adrian Claiborne. They declined the fifth-year option on Tack McKinley. Atlanta finally made a significant investment on an outside player, signing Dante Fowler Jr. First-round picks on first and second-round picks on A.J. Terrell, Marlon Davidson. Thomas Dimitroff's team projects to come away with one compensatory fifth-round pick and a pair of selections in the sixth round next year in the draft. What went wrong? Fowler was the only significant veteran addition to this team that made that was made to the flailing defense as Atlanta otherwise re-signed Tyler Davidson, traded for a seventh round pick for Dolphins washout Charles Harris. He says, I'm worried that the Falcons might be fooled by what happened in the second half when they allowed a league-best 25.8% conversion rate on third downs. Research has suggested that teams that grossly outplay their first and second down performance on third down struggled to keep that up. And while they were middle of the pack by expected points added on first and second down during the final 8 weeks of the season, they were the league's best defense on third downs. They also say you could argue they didn't have the cap room to make many additions, but after cutting Devontae Freeman, they still found a way to hand Todd Gurley a one-year, $5.5 million deal. Even if Gurley returns to form and has a great season, this is the exact sort of organization that needed to focus on finding a cheap, multi-year solution at running back. Falcons have committed serious resources to their offensive line, having a great passing game, and desperately need to save money for their defense. They say, what could they have done differently? The money that committed to Todd Gurley could have been part of an offer for someone like Jadeveon Clowney, although it would have also required Atlanta to restructure someone's contract like Julio Jones. As it stands, the Falcons didn't have the cap space to go after a veteran edge rusher like Vinny Curry or Clay Matthews. Well, okay, a few things. One is, I would want no part of Jadeveon Clowney. There's a reason why he still is not signed. So that's a dumb take. I understand why they rolled the dice on Gurley. And I don't think what... See, this again is where Bill knows the NFL, but I know the Falcons. And you have to think about where the Falcons are at as an organization with what's going on both on the field and behind the scenes. They say what's left to do, carve out some space for a cornerback. With plenty of veteran options still available, the Falcons project to start Terrell, Isaiah Oliver, Kendall Sheffield. They're enthused about Sheffield after his rookie season, but I'd like to see them find a couple of million dollars to bring in somebody like Darquise Denard or even a veteran like Brandon Carr. Releasing backup running back Brian Hill would free up $2.1 million. Well, we know they have a crowded backfield, so somebody may have to go in all of that mix. But I'm not sure I agree very much with his analysis on what he had to say there. But, you know, again, it's different when you're here on the front lines and you're looking at everything and you understand what this team is trying to do, because let's face it, they're in a must-win now kind of mode. This has to be, they have to win now. No waiting around, no trying to figure some things out, this, that, and the other. They have to figure out a way to win now. And look, not just, hey, let's qualify for the playoffs, but you got Matt, you got Julio, got all these guys. You got to find a way to get to the big game, to get to the Super Bowl and find out a way to put that trophy in the case in Flowery Branch. So Forbes has done a study of revenue that will be lost from teams if there are no fans in the stands this year. Now, they say that the NFL would lose $5.5 billion of stadium revenue, or, to put in perspective, 38% of its total revenue by not having fans. Tickets, concessions, sponsors, parking, team stores. Okay? They say that the impact varies, though, greatly team by team. Okay? So they have their list. So in the list of total stadium revenue, the highest stadium revenue team in the NFL, no shock, is the Dallas Cowboys. The Falcons come in eight. Only the Patriots, besides the Cowboys, the Patriots, Giants, Texans, Jets, 49ers, and Redskins have more money. And by the way, the Falcons and Eagles come in at $204 million in stadium revenue. The Redskins are $205. The 49ers are $208. So not a big difference. You know, now Green Bay, when you get to number 10, that's $174 million. So you're talking $30 million between the Falcons and the next team after that, but only $3 million between them and the two teams that are in front of them. They say the total revenue of the team is $458 million overall. That's the total revenue. Stadium revenue, like we said, though, $204 million. And it's why the NFL, think about that. Think about the number I just said. $5.5 billion across the league. You think the league is ready to throw in the towel on fans being at NFL games and buildings not being open? Okay, keep selling yourself on that idea. Damn the torpedoes, we'll figure the virus out. But they're not leaving $5.5 billion on the table when all is said and done. And you can talk about quarantining and isolating and not touching and sheltering in place and all these things you want to talk about. $5.5 billion just in stadium revenue. 38% of their NFL's revenue out there. Unfortunately, you can't stress it enough, you know, as to why there will be something. There will be something. And I think the NFL is going to find a way to try to have fans in sooner rather than later. Caleb McGarry on AtlantaFalcons.com did kind of a piece going through his final year at Washington to his draft to being in Atlanta and kind of breaks it down in quote-unquote his own words. My draft experience is one of the greatest experiences I've ever had in my life. It's only second to buying my parents a house. I was able to do that because I was drafted, so it kind of goes hand in hand. The day that I could call my parents and tell them, quote, start looking at a house because you're done living in an RV was pretty cool. Hearing how happy my siblings and parents are living in an actual house again, it's pretty incredible. That is a feeling that few people ever get, to be able to buy their parents a house. I was blessed enough to be able to do it, and that was an incredible feeling. So good stuff. It's pretty lengthy on the website. You know, as far as that goes, he says, after getting drafted, waking up the next morning, knowing I was an Atlanta Falcon was surreal. It was hard to believe that I actually had done it. It's just amazing. I actually got drafted to one of the teams I was hoping to get drafted to. That's another aspect to it. Atlanta was one of the few teams that I was secretly hoping for. Flying into Atlanta to their facilities was pretty cool. I know I keep saying it, but that's the best way I have to describe it. I don't have anything to compare getting on a billionaire's private jet with. If you find something to compare that to, please let me know because I will gladly give it a shot. It took a long time to get over that starstruck phase of things. It probably took two-thirds of the season for me to get over looking around in the huddle and just being amazed at the people that I was standing there with. Matt, Julio, Devontae, Alex Mack, Jake Matthews. These were guys I watched as recently as college. We watched films on lots of pro teams. We watched Atlanta Falcons film because the schemes that UW were very similar. So good stuff there from Caleb McGarry talking about his journey. Go to AtlantaFalcons.com and you can read all of that. All right, when we get back, it will be time for That's Life. We'll look at how we did on the market today and a fascinating story about a couple in Virginia and what they found. What would you do in this situation? I'm going to ask Jarvis as well, because it's pretty wild. It's all next. It is the John Chuckman Show, live with you here on a Thursday evening, Sports Radio 910 The Game and on the Radio.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the John Chuckman Show. 9:21 on a Thursday evening. You know what time it is.
That's life.
That's life.
That's what all the people say.
404-741-0929. That's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Be a part of the show that way. Follow us on social media at 929 The Game, at JMCH316, at JarvisD90. Don't forget the radio.com app. Download it, because that way you can always hear us on the go. It's the cool way to listen to the radio station when you're not in your vehicle. All right, several things to get into tonight. So there's a story out about some Canadian scientists that they think that they have found strong strains of cannabis that they hope could help prevent and treat the coronavirus. Now, researchers from the University of Lethbridge said that studies that they've done in April have showed at least 13 cannabis plants that are high in CBD that appear to affect the pathways that the bug uses to access the body. One of the researchers said, "We're totally stunned at first, and then we were really happy." They've printed their results and said that CBD may help block proteins that provide a gateway for COVID-19 to enter cells. They said it could reduce the cell's entry points by up to 70%. Therefore, you have more chance to fight it. Our work could have a huge influence. There aren't many drugs that have the potential of reducing infection by 70 to 80%. Now, they stress lots more research is needed, okay? But they say that cannabis could help use to develop easy-to-use preventative treatments in the form of mouthwash and throat gargle products, with a potential to decrease viral entry through the month. They say the key thing is not that any cannabis you would pick up at the store will do the trick, that there are specific types. Now, before you go out and start doping it up and getting all high, okay, they say that what they're talking about is cannabis that is high in anti-inflammatory CBD but low in THC, okay? So I wanted to make sure I read that sentence specifically, because I don't want everybody going and doping it up, being a bunch of potheads, bunch of reefer heads, hoping that that will fix all their coronavirus issues. Okay? The study has to be peer-reviewed yet, carried out in partnership with some other companies, but they say that they're continuing their efforts out there. While our most effective extracts require further large-scale validation, our study is crucial for the future analysis of the effects of medical cannabis on COVID-19. Given the current dire and rapidly evolving epidemiological situation, every possible therapeutic opportunity and avenue must be considered out there. So who knows if this is a, you know, fix or cure-all or preventative or what have you. Now, it's funny because my marijuana company, Kronos, I think it's a CROS, I think is their symbol. It's done really well the last couple of days. My cannabis stock, my marijuana cannabis company that I have investment in, has done pretty well the last couple of days. Still pretty cheap. It's only like $6 a share, but it's done pretty well the last couple of days. I've made some money. I've made some bucks off, you know, not much, but I mean I've made a few bucks, you know, off of it thus far. So who knows? You know, anytime I see studies like this, I'm like, oh, okay, maybe that explains why because I can never understand why stocks go up and down for different things, other than somebody says the wrong thing or freaks somebody out or whatever happens. You know, the obvious things, you know, like Elon Musk saying Tesla's way overvalued, and then the stock drops like a lead weight. Yeah, when the guy who owns the company says, yeah, it's way overvalued, yeah, of course people are going to sell the stock and freak out and panic at that point so they don't lose any money on all of it. But I always wonder on these little things, like, okay, why did my dope company go up today? Why did my natural gas company go up today? Because the last couple of days, by and large, you know, I've made some money the last couple of days. Not much, but I've made some money. And I'm slowly getting back to some nice levels, I think 16, 17%. But overall in my portfolio. But it's funny, like the last couple of days, as Delta reported, lots of flights coming up in the summertime. People are booking flights. Delta, Carnival, Boeing have all just been climbers the last few days. While everything else around the Dow has been going down, even NASDAQ's been down, it's weird. Like my airline, my Boeing and Delta, they've been going up. I'm actually now, as crazy as it is, because I have one share of Boeing that has really tanked my little group of shares that I have. I way overpaid for it, okay, at like 172 or something like that, way overpaid. So it's lost me a lot of money, but because of the other shares that I bought at the price, you know, my group has now made money as a whole. So as a whole in my Boeing stock, for one of the first times, I'm actually making money on all of it. Same thing with Delta. I've recouped all my losses on Delta, and now I'm in the green on Delta. And hell, Carnival, I mean, I'm 33% up on Carnival, and they haven't had a passenger in 2.5 months. And they won't have a passenger on a cruise until August. It's crazy. I have no idea why it keeps going, but hey, listen, I'll take it. 33% return on a company that has not operated in 2.5 months? Hey, brother, I'm in. Sign me up and let them just keep on rolling. You know, I can't wait for when they get, you know, people back on ships and stuff like that. And we talked about yesterday the fact that casinos are opening up. The company that I have that's involved in the casino and gaming machines, they've been up the last couple of days as well. So it's funny just how, you know, if you diversify a little bit and you find some little things, nuggets to invest in, you know, what will do well and not do well out of all of it. All right. Another interesting story. And I'm going to ask Jarvis what he would do as well. So a family in Virginia was out and about just trying to get out because they'd been cooped up and quarantined and touch isolation and shelter in place and self-quarantine and whatever other buzzwords are still out there around the country. They were out on a drive, and there was a car in front of this family. They're the Shantz family, okay? S-C-H-A-N-T-Z. A car in front of them swerved out of the way to avoid what was looks like a big bag of trash, okay? Since they were behind this car, they were not able to react in time and avoid it. So they ended up running over the bag, and they didn't want to leave it all, like, trashed up and everything. So they picked it all up and threw it in the back of the truck, okay? They saw another bag, and this is weird. They saw another bag in the ditch nearby and picked that one up, too. After they arrived home later that evening, they were going to throw away the trash from both bags. When they did, it looked like it was mail. Then they started looking at it more, and it ended up being cash. So they called their friend, who's one of the county sheriffs that they went to church with. They called the police, and the police came out and went out there and determined it was, in fact, cash. It was in two bags, and the total was close to $1 million. They say within the two larger bags were smaller ones, each containing some information on where the money should have been deposited. Inside of the bag, there were plastic baggies, and they were addressed with something that said Cash Vault. They've turned it over to the Postal Service, which is looking into the matter. Who it actually belonged to, where it was going, we haven't released any of that, one of the spokesmen said. Now the United States Postal Service is working on getting the money back to its owner. They say it's a real credit just to the character and fiber of the family. I'm sure it'd be difficult to make that decision. It's almost $1 million in cash, but they did the right thing. So, Jarvis, I will ask you, if you found some bags on the side of the road that were filled with cash and almost $1 million of it, Would you call the police and turn it back in?
Ooh, I don't know, man. That's a hard one because, and because when you think about it, like, I don't know if they're marked bills. I don't know if it's dope money. Like, I don't know what comes with it. But being that somebody got rid of it and they ran over it and that person, those people didn't come back, I wouldn't be. A part of me will say, give it back. But another part of me will say, hey, let me put this money away. Let me figure out what to do with it. Let me go buy some Bitcoin. Let me go figure out, you know, let me do something to, you know, to try to see if I can move and shake around a little bit.
I gotta be honest, because of what you said at the very beginning, I'd be too scared to keep it. I'd be too scared that I'd be getting a knock on the door from the FBI because, and they show the picture of the bags. They look like they're bank bags.
Oh, so
they, you know, they
oh,
look
nah.
like
yeah.
they look like they look like bags that yeah they look like bags that like you know what's like one of the armored car companies or something
right.
would drop off. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And obviously, because of the way it, you know, the way it describes how it was packaged, you know, there were smaller bags inside of other bags, and they were in like things that said cash deposit and stuff like that.
Oh no!
It makes you feel like that they were probably like out of an armored car, brother. If you hold on to that, I mean, as much as it may be tempting to, your ass going to be in jail.
No doubt.
They go, if it turns out you got that and they come track, because let me tell you, if it's like $600 or $700, you'd get away with putting
it
in
I'm
your
cool.
pocket.
Yeah, I'm
a million
away,
dollars, somebody's knocking on your door.
No
and
doubt.
Somebody's going to put you in the hooscow if they find out you got the dough.
And
okay.
Let me ask you.
You can't
this,
just
though.
Put that in, right, Jarvis. You can't just put that in the Folgers cans and bury it in the backyard. It's $1 million.
Right.
Somebody's going to the hooscow if they find out. The pokey if they find out you got it. So I'd be that amount of money. I'd be too scared to not call the police and say, "Okay, this looks." Because you say, "Hey, let me tell you, if that was drug money." And they find out I got it, brother. Let me tell you, you better be in Rio de Janeiro on a beach somewhere, collecting 15% off your investment because you got to get out of the country.
Right.
Either you're on the lam or you're headed to the hooscow. Which one do you want? When it's $1 million, you're either on the lam or in the hooscow. Take your pick. One of them's coming.
Let me ask you this.
You either got to get out of... At that point, you got to either get out of the country or you're going to find yourself in a cell where at least nobody will bother you.
Let me ask you this. Do you think they got a reward?
Probably not. I'm guessing probably not on something like that until they determine what the money is.
Yeah.
I'm guessing that I'm... Let's say if it's an armored car company. The armored car company may do something for them, maybe not even a cash prize or something, a reward, but they may do something for them, you know, for returning the money. But I'd be too, $1 million, I'd be scared, man. I'd be scared to have that much money on me in cash, in bags. No, because I'd either be in the hooscow or I'd have to extradite myself to another land. All right, when we get back, Darren Rovell joined us earlier in the program, of course, from the Action Network, covering sports memorabilia, sports betting. Very fun interview that we did with him. We'll let you hear that up next. It is the John Chuckery Show, live on a Thursday, Sports Radio 910 The Game, and on the radio.com app.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.